Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 1st Chapter, verses 27 to 32. Verse 27. Yata vairana bandena natata bhakti yogena iti menishchitamati. Narada Muni continued, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption and thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity toward him. That is my opinion. Mukam karati vachanam bhanganangayate dhiya hitandamam vande shri gurum yachayam om jnana chirandasya gyananjara shalakaya chakshu nimitam yena tasmai shri So, does anybody remember anything from yesterday? What do you remember? Adipurush. Okay, better to be in Sattvagun because eventually it wins. Time favors Sattvagun. Prashanta? Yes, the Lord seems to be taking sides with the demigods.
Yeah, that's the...
Yes, Parikshit.
And for
you, 7th chapter. Yes, how he's taking sides. Right, his partiality is not based on the mundane qualities.
It was explained that he's nirguna.
So he's nirguna, right, first thing. Yes, Shishupala. Yes, sometimes he's favoring the demons, sometimes he's with the demigods. So, what is it? Yes, Satyavati. Tatkala anuguna, very good. Time follows Krishna. In a certain way, right. According to Tat Kalanuguna, time follows the Lord, and then he enters the bodies to make different people act in different ways according to the modes of material nature. Right, pure devotees above time. Anybody else remember anything from yesterday's class? Classes? Yes, Prabhu. Right, it's not Krishna's responsibility. What kind of body? Yes, character and fruit of work. That's what Shukadeva Goswami said in the verse. Character and fruit of work. That's what determines.
How much mercy we get, it's not only depends on Krishna, but it's our attitude.
It's our attitude and receptivity. Very good. You have learned. Yes. Okay, what's behind the partiality is his mercy. Very good. As long as, and that's today's class, as long as you're thinking of Krishna, somehow or other, then you get benefit. And yesterday's verse, the last verse, 26, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, affection, or lusty desire, all of these, or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind on the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by any enmity or friendship. So this enmity is a very... Now in this verse, Narada Muni is saying, I think it's better. I think this enmity is more intense. I mean, when you hate someone or someone gives you trouble, then you may even think of them more than somebody who's your friend. You think, okay, how am I going to get back and what this person said to me and all this. It's very intense. Anger is more intense sometimes than love. So this is what Narada Muni says, that is my opinion. So Prabhupada explains Narada Muni's mentality and the purport. Who can summarize in one word Narada Muni's mentality? Yes? Okay. In one word, what is that?
Humility.
Humility. Very good. Very good. Everyone else is lower, everyone else is better. So Prabhupada says, Shima Narada Muni, the topmost pure devotee, praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupala, because their minds are always completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean, however, the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also thinks of himself in such a humble way. Jagai madai hoite murise pakishta I am a worse sinner than Jagaya Madhai, and even lower than the worms in the stool. A pure devotee always thinks himself more deficient than everyone else. If a devotee approaches Srimati Radharani to offer some service to Krishna, even Srimati Radharani thinks the devotee is greater than she. Thus, Narada Muni says that according to his opinion, the enemies of Krishna are better situated because they are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in terms of killing him, just as a very lusty man always thinks of women and their association. That reminded me of Srila Prabhupada's humility. One time he went to South India, Madras or someplace, and the people came. He went with his sannyasi disciples, Madhavisa Swami. And some people came to meet him. And but they were confused. And they asked Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, which one of you is in charge? And the devotees all pointed to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, "As you like." And the man actually, he said, "Well, I thought this one's in charge because he has a big stick." And he thought the sannyasi was the leader of the group. So Prabhupada was very, very humble. The essential point, purport, in this connection is that one should be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day. There are many devotees in Raga Marg, which is exhibited in Vrindavan, whether in Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsayaras, or Maturyaras, all the devotees of Krishna are always overwhelmed by thoughts of Krishna. When Krishna is away from Vrindavan, tending the cows in the forest, the gopis in the Maturyaras are always absorbed in thoughts of how Krishna walks in the forest. The soles of his feet are so soft, the gopis would not dare keep his lotus feet on their soft breasts. Indeed, they consider their breasts a very hard place for the lotus feet of Krishna. Yet those lotus feet wander in the forest, which is full of thorny plants. The gopis are absorbed in such thoughts at home, although Krishna is away from them. So the verse from 10th canto, which explains this in 10:31:11, Chalasiyat Rajas Charayan Pashun Nalina Sundaram Natati Param Shila Chinang Kurai Siddhati Tina Kalilatam Mana Kantarakshati. Dear Master, dear lover, when you leave the cowherd village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought your feet, more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husk of grain and the rough grass and plants. So then there's another verse, 10:31:19. Yate sujata charanam guruham staneshu pitta shanai piyada jivahi kakasheshu tena devimata sita yata tena kimsi kurpari pipamati tibhavara yashamna. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft, we place them gently on our breasts, fearing your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about in the forest path. So now we'll go back to the purport. Now Prabhupada, in the middle of paragraph 2, he gets into Sakya Ras. He's getting to all the rasas here, giving examples. Similarly, when Krishna plays with his young friends, it's Vatsalya Ras. Mother Yashoda is very much disturbed by thoughts that Krishna, because of all his playing and not taking his food properly, must be getting weak. So this is the anxiety of the mother. The first anxiety of the mother is the child eating enough? Is the child getting enough to eat? It's always like that. That's me and my son always, "Are you eating? Why don't you eat?" And so I remember Burijan, he gave a class. It was Burijan or Brijbihari, I don't know, one of them. I think it was Brijbihari maybe. And his mother was very, very sick. She phoned him from America. And she was so sick. He phoned her and she was asking, "How are you? How are you doing, mother?" You know, like that. And she said, "But are you eating enough? Are you getting enough to eat?" even on your deathbed, the mother is thinking, "Is my child eating?" So Mother Yashoda is like that. We get it from Mother Yashoda that, Krishna must be getting weak. And she's always sending messages, sending food, sending things to him in the forest. that please eat your food, here's some more food. So these are the examples of the exalted ecstasy felt in Krishna's service. This is manifested in Vrindavan. This service is indirectly praised by Narada Muni in this verse, indirectly. Especially for the conditioned soul, Narada Muni recommends somehow or other one must be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, for that will save one from all dangers of material existence. Full absorption in thought of Krishna is the highest platform of bhakti yoga. So Shukadev Goswami, in the 10th canto, explains how the gopis were liberated by such absorption. That's 10.82.47. Having thus been instructed by Krishna in spiritual matters, the gopis were freed of all tinges of false ego because of their incessant meditation upon him. And with their deepening absorption in him, they came to understand him fully. So today's class, Prabhuji was speaking about the gopis and how nimeshena, yugaitam nimeshena, that just if one nimesha they were away from Krishna, it seemed like a yuga or many yugas. And another thing he was saying is that they were condemning the creator Brahma for giving him these eyes because the eyes were blinking for a nimesha. And so this was the gopis. They were so absorbed that just the blinking of the eye was getting in the way of their meditation. So Srila Prabhupada renders this passage from Bhagavatam as follows. The gopis, having been instructed by Krishna in the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, remained always in Krishna consciousness, thus became liberated from all material contamination. So now let's hear about us. The consciousness of the living entity who falsely presents himself as the enjoyer of the material world is called Jiva Kosha, which means imprisonment by false ego. That's where I got it. So our prison is false ego.
Where is that from?
This is 10.82.47 purport.
Jiva Kosha.
Actually, the kosha, I think, is described in third canto as well. That this covering, it's a covering. Jiva Kosha.
Five koshas.
That we were talking about yesterday. Oh, those are koshas. That's shit. Anamaya, pranamaya, viganamaya. Okay. So our prison. Not only the gopis, but anyone who follows these instructions of Krishna becomes immediately freed from jiva kosha imprisonment. Okay. Now Uddhava in third canto expressed the same feelings as Narada when he was conversing with Vidura. And this is 3.2.24. Manye saram bhagavatam stradishe sangram vamarga pinivista chitchan yisam yuge chakshata takshaputram manche sunabha yudham apatantam. I consider the demons who are inimical toward the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarksha, Kashyap, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand. So when the Lord comes to help the demigods, he's on the side of the demigods. So they don't get to see him face to face, just like in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna was driving Arjuna's chariot. So Arjuna saw the back of the Lord. But the other side, they saw the face. They saw the beautiful form of Krishna. So therefore, Bhishma Dev and Uddhava, they express this sentiment that actually they're more fortunate because they get to see Krishna face to face. They see his... Huh?
Bhishma said that,
in the 9th chapter. He says, yes. He was saying, please stand in front of me at the time of my leaving the body, because he was thinking maybe he wasn't pious enough to see Krishna because he fought against him. Yeah, so in a purport of 3.2.24, Srila Prabhupada explains why the demons who fought against the Lord got salvation due to being killed by the Lord. Prabhupada says the salvation of the demons is not due to their being devotees, it is because of the Lord's causeless mercy. Anyone who is slightly in touch with the Lord, somehow or other, is greatly benefited, even to the point of salvation, due to the excellence of the Lord. He is so kind, he awards salvation even to his enemies because they come into contact with him and are indirectly absorbed in him by their inimical thoughts. Actually, the demons can never be equal to the pure devotees, but Uddhava was thinking in that way because of his feelings of separation. Well, here's another reason why the devotees will think the demons are better, because he's feeling separation. Uddhava was thinking at the last stage of his life he might not be able to see the Lord face to face, as did the demons. So this is the pure devotee's mentality. The fact is, devotees who are always engaged in devotional service of the Lord and transcendental love are rewarded many hundreds and thousands of times more than the demons by being elevated to the spiritual planets, where they remain with the Lord in eternal blissful existence. So then Prabhupada compares what the merging in Brahmajyoti and the spiritual planets. Just imagine the difference between floating in space and residing in one of the planets in the sky. So imagine just floating up there, just you floating, and nobody else. You don't see anyone else. Pretty lonely. The pleasure of the living entities on the planets is greater than those who have no body and who merge with the molecules of the sun's rays. The impersonalists, therefore, are no more favored than the enemies of the Lord. Rather, they are both on the same level of spiritual salvation. And I have one more devotee here who expresses the same sentiment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gopina tamiki doshe doshi ashura shakala paila charana vinara takira vashi. O Gopinath, I am so sinful, although all the demons attained your lotus feet, Bhaktivinoda has remained in worldly existence. So I'm still here, but all the demons have gone. I still remain. So this is the mentality of the devotees. Verse 28-29. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is such an Ananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins. Whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. So as Burijan Prabhu was saying, this is the root of Raganuga Bhakti. Always think of Krishna, never forget him. So yesterday, remember that little worm that was on my forehead. So we're going to talk about that species of life. We also heard about Krishnadas Kavra said, I'm lower than the worm. So the caterpillar species is related to this worm. And there is a very beautiful analogy that the caterpillar, he weaves a cocoon, and then his body dies, and then he transforms into a butterfly. So this is in the Govardhan retreat. We heard about this caterpillar. And actually, this is what Burijan says about this caterpillar here. The root of Raganuga Bhakti is when the wasp gashes the bug and seals him in the wall, the bug is filled with terror. When one's consciousness focuses on something like the bug in fear of the wasp, then we transform also into that which we meditate upon. So the bug transforms into the wasp. So our hope is that we will transform into a butterfly. We want to transform from caterpillar to butterfly. And if we're stuck in caterpillar consciousness, we won't become butterflies. We must focus on being servants of Krishna and let go of our old identity and realize our true self. So that's what Burijan says, and I'll tell you what Satchinandan Swami says about that. He also has some comments. So when the caterpillar changes into a butterfly, the caterpillar dies. And he has some scientific information what happens. He was explaining to us the scientific, that some information cells are still in the dead body of the caterpillar, and they're building settlements in the decaying body. And then, what did he say? So when the caterpillar dies, the impulse comes to develop into a beautiful winged creature. So he said there's one gene that's needed, and the gene that's needed to make the caterpillar change is the one that makes the heart beat. So, first of all, the caterpillar dies. So that means when we transform, something in us has to die. What is it that has to die? Raise your hand. Okay, false ego. Very good. And what did we learn about false ego? We were analyzing it in yesterday's verses. Raise your hand if you can tell me the Sanskrit for that. There were two words. False ego. What is the essence of false ego? Two words. Yes, Prabhu in the back. Aham mameti. Very good. Aham mameti. So this has to die. This has to die in us. And another thing, after death there is nothing. That has to die. So as Bhakti Chirta Maharaj used to say, we must die to live. We must die to live. And then we'll be transformed into a swan-like devotee. So all these negative thoughts, all this false ego, it has to die. That's our caterpillar consciousness. Caterpillars. We don't want to be caterpillars. We want to be butterflies. So this is, we want to be a devotee who searches after the essence of things, like a swan. So Satchinandan Swami says, in transformation, something in you has to die, and you need new information to develop into a beautiful new life. So that's the purpose, one of the purposes of our Bhaktivedanta is to transform. By the end of ninth canto, hopefully, we'll be transformed enough to relish the tenth canto. He said, you should retreat from your ordinary mind life. Retreat. We were in the retreat, so he used that word. So let's give up this caterpillar consciousness. But it's useful if we are thinking of Krishna in any way, in any shape. If you're afraid of something, then just think, well, it's Krishna, actually, that I'm afraid of. Because he's behind everything. So now, this purport is also very, very wonderful. Prabhupada is going to take a verse from Bhagavad Gita, and he's going to interpret it in an amazing, amazing way. A very amazing way. So we'll look at the purport after the first quote. Prabhupada says, there are two ways of constantly thinking of Krishna as a devotee and as an enemy. A devotee, of course, by his knowledge and tapasya, becomes free from fear and anger and becomes a pure devotee. Similarly, an enemy, although thinking of Krishna inimically, thinks of him constantly and also becomes purified. This is confirmed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Apichet siracharo bhajate mam mananyabhak sadhurdeva samantavya samyakvyavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he's properly situated. So our Durachara devotee, he's thinking of Krishna in enmity. He's also, Prabhupada says, saintly. Amazing. Very amazing. Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna. And so Krishna is thinking of the devotee, Prabhupada is thinking of the demons, how to liberate the demons. What do you think, Adi Purush? You agree? Adi Purush is not so merciful. Yes?
What's amazing also is that he says that the devotees coming to 930 are enemies.
Yes. I know.
My understanding was that they were fallen enemies of the Lord.
Yeah, I know. That was our understanding. But Prabhupada, you know, he's got Nityananda's mercy overflowing. So he's thinking of liberating the demons. He's extending everything to include us. He's extending, you know, Brahmin, sannyas, everything to include the demoniac countries, mlechas, yavanas. Prabhupada says, a devotee undoubtedly worships the Lord with rapt attention. Similarly, if an enemy, sudarachara, there goes that verse again, always thinks of Krishna, he also becomes a purified devotee. There you go, sudarachara, new meaning has unfolded by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Always remember, Prabhupada is the most merciful, so merciful. So one time, Prabhupada visited one of the first temples in L.A. It was in a house across the street, had a big sign blaspheming Krishna. And the devotees, when they brought him to the temple, they were trying to distract him so he wouldn't see the sign. But of course he saw the sign. And he remarked, he said, whoa, this is the only house in America that has Krishna's name on the front. It's very positive approach. So I heard a story in Mayapur. Now this, I don't know if this is so relevant, but it's on 9:30 and 31. And it's quite interesting. An interesting twist on verses 9:30 and 31. We just heard 9:30, and the next one is Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashra Shanti Nagachati, that very quickly does he become righteous. So this is a story told by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Once, Lord Shiva and Yamaraj were discussing Bhagavad Gita, these two verses, 9:30 and 31. So they had a Bhagavad Gita question they couldn't figure out.
Yamaraj
and Lord Shiva. Yamaraj and Lord Shiva, very elevated devotees, were discussing Bhagavad Gita. So don't think that we're finished with Bhagavad Gita. If Yamaraj and Lord Shiva can discuss, so can we. So they had a question, because in 9:30 it says a sadhu is above the modes. He's above. But then he's rightly situated. But in 9:31 Krishna says, quickly do they become righteous. So then, if the devotee is above the modes, then how do they become righteous? Which is mode of goodness. They're above goodness, so how do they become righteous? So then they saw Bhaktivinoda Thakur walking in Namadweep. They said, oh, here's a nice Vaishnava. Let's ask him this question. So they asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur this Bhagavad Gita question. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one who commits a sin, but he's thinking of Krishna, he's thinking of devotional service, he's a sadhu. And he said, but actually, the second verse applies to someone who criticizes the devotee who's doing a sin. So one who criticizes, he may make some advancement and quickly become righteous. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. So if you criticize the Sudarachara devotee, then it applies, okay, you can may become righteous. That's what Bhaktivinoda said. I heard it in a class in Mayapur. I think it was Bhaktivedipurna Maharaj who gave the class. Did you hear that, Janmash? No. I was in Mayapur. Yes.
That I believe it's in the science of self-realization. Rasoham apsukuntaya. You know, Prabhupada says...
Oh, yeah. Rasoham apsukuntaya.
When one drinks liquor...
Yes.
...you should think that this is the taste, that Krishna is the taste of...
Krishna is the taste of liquor. And very soon he will become a devotee, if he thinks like that, that this taste is Krishna, taste of this wine is Krishna. Yeah, no, means he criticizes, but then if he continues in his devotional service, he may become righteous. Anyway, that was the answer. Yeah, the person who criticizes.
He criticizes, he's unrighteous.
Yeah, he's unrighteous. Yeah, he's unrighteous. He may be Sudarachara also. Though he may become quickly one who criticizes a devotee who is not maybe doing properly. The criticizer is Sudarachara. He may become righteous. Okay. Something else. Oh, I have another story for you. This is my god sister in Anga Manjari. So this is how to preach to the demons and make them devotees. So she's a very empowered preacher. The one time she was out in book distribution with some young ladies. She had a women's party. And they were out, and one Christian man was coming up and disturbing all the sales, and he was telling the people, don't buy from them, don't listen to them, this is very bad, don't buy. So the girls came to my god sister Ananga Manjari, and she said, oh, look what this man is doing. And she said, okay, never mind, I'll handle him. So Ananga Manjari went to where that man was, and she started distributing books. So then he came up, and he said, don't buy this book, it's very bad. And then Ananga Manjari said, oh, this is my uncle Kamsa. Today we're having a very special approach. We're doing reverse psychology. The more he tells you not to buy, the more you should buy. And it worked. And people were buying like anything. And the guy was tearing his hair out and going crazy. But then finally, after a few hours, the guy came over and asked her, well, why don't you show me one of those books? Because she kept calling him Uncle Kamsa, like he's part of the family, you know. This is my Uncle Kamsa. And then she sold him a book, actually. And he went away. Yeah.
I remember we were having a Harinam Sankirtan.
Harinam Sankirtan in?
Where?
In Ukraine. Ukraine.
And some guy came and he started shouting, shame, shame.
Shame, shame. At the Harinam and raising his hands. Raising his hands.
But because they were chanting loudly, it looked as if
he was in the kirtan. So the guy was raising his hands up just like the devotees. People would think he's part of it. Yeah, so this is how this verse applies. That the demons, they get the mercy. They get the mercy. Uncle Kamsa. So this is going on. So these are good examples. We'll go on to the... You have
temple
one?
Temple president in Dallas.
In Dallas, temple president. Son of the wealthiest person in Fiji.
And, temple.
And they live next to the temple.
And they were very disturbed by the Mangalarti.
Disturbed by Mangalarti.
They were plotting to blow the temple up.
They were plotting to blow the temple up.
The father and the
father and son combined effort to blow up the Dallas temple.
It was the Fiji.
Oh, sorry, Fiji temple.
Yeah, Fiji temple. He was the wealthiest. His father was a big man, wealthiest person in all of Fiji.
Wealthiest person in Fiji.
So
the son became a devotee and the father lost everything.
So now the father is living in the temple.
Father's living in the temple.
His son is the temple president.
Son is temple president.
And the father really, personal conception.
Oh, he appreciates devotional service, but he can't get beyond the impersonal conception.
They were worshippers of Shiva.
Oh, they are worshippers of Lord Shiva. Okay, so again, miracles can happen. So that means there's hope for us. Also, our demoniac minds. We can change. Yes.
Well, at first, the enmity brought them there.
Yeah, the enmity brought them to the temple. Yes, that's a good point. The enmity brought them there. There's so many. Yes. One devotee was KGB officer in Moscow.
He was police.
Appointed to prosecute the devotees. You see, he became so absorbed, he became a devotee. Yeah, I can tell you a story like that from Nepal. There's this one old lady, she's over 100, 104, 109, I don't know what. And I saw her. And she's a Vaishnava. And but before her husband died and she had two, she raised her children. And but she was a Vaishnava and the government didn't like it. So they sent her one son to spy on her after he had left home. They sent her one son to spy on her, but then he became a devotee. So they sent the other son, and he became a devotee. And so they gave up sending people to spy on her. The whole family became devotees. Now the granddaughter now, she's actively preaching in ISKCON now. She's doing Briksha, that's Namhat, and Vriksha, Bhakti Vriksha, she's doing these groups and leading kirtans. Very fixed up devotee, her granddaughter. Yeah?
No.
Okay. One godbrother, TP in India. Maybe he was Naxalite, yeah. When Prabhupada did Pandal in Calcutta, he was maybe one of those Naxalites who came to break.
So Prabhupada said, oh, he looks very enthusiastic.
Prabhupada said, he's very enthusiastic, we need such people. After 5 years. Yeah, there was one also, another Naxalite who was a very big person in Mayapur. And when Prabhupada came to the Calcutta Pandal, they sent a note, fly or die. And then Prabhupada, he met with the Naxalites back, and then he actually changed their hearts. And they let him perform his Pandal. Yeah, so these things happen. And Krishna is so merciful. Okay, verse 30. We'll sing the Sanskrit, famous verse. Kamatvesha bhayasneha yatha bhakeshare mana avishataragam hitva bhavastagatingachaha. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. Purport. Stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-39. Vikriditam Vajavadavitam Chavishnu Sharan Vitanu Shinuyadata Vanayatya Vaktim Parambhagavati Patilakukamam Hiridrogamasa Pahino Tachirinatira. If a bona fide listener hears of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, which seem to be lusty affairs, the lusty desires in his heart, which constitute the heart disease of the conditioned soul, will be vanquished, and he will become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. If one who hears of the gopis' lusty behavior with Krishna becomes free from lusty desires, certainly the gopis who approached Krishna became free from all such desires. Similarly, Shishupala and others who were very much envious of Krishna and who constantly thought of Krishna became free from envy. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because of affection. When the mind is somehow or other fully absorbed in Krishna, the material part is very soon vanquished, and the spiritual part, attraction to Krishna, becomes manifest. This indirectly confirms that if one thinks of Krishna enviously, simply because of thinking of Krishna, he becomes free from all sinful reactions, thus becomes a pure devotee. Examples of this are given in the following verse. There's another example in Moscow. There was one Mataji doing book distribution at the train station. And this man was talking to everyone who was coming, all the people, don't buy, don't buy. So for 2 weeks, 2 hours daily, that was his service. He was going and telling all the people, don't buy from this Mataji, don't buy, don't buy. So the Mataji, she was praying for this man. She was praying, please change his heart, please let him become a devotee. So then one day he came to see the books, and he saw Ishopanishad, and he saw Mahavishnu on the cover. And then as soon as he looked at that picture, Mahavishnu expanded, and all he could see was Mahavishnu and nothing else. Everything was blocked out of his vision. Just he had a vision of Mahavishnu. So then he bought some books. And then he started chanting and following in his house, but he was too shy to come to the temple. So one day a devotee met him somehow on the street, and he explained that, you know, I'm ashamed, this is what I did, how can I come to the temple? The devotee said, no, you come. So he started going to the temple. Anyway, it works. It actually works. So all these verses are just making the point that we have to somehow or other think of Krishna. And this was Prabhupada's philosophy. This was his attempt when he first came to America, that somehow or other, just get him to chant Hare Krishna. And all the rules, I'll tell them later. Because if he had just said the rules, nobody would have come in the beginning. Because nobody was following any rules. So in the Adi Lila, 5th chapter, verse 35, purport, it says that even if one is attracted by Godhead in the mode of lust, such attraction is converted into spiritual love of Godhead by His grace. So by His grace, it's converted, all these feelings. And then there's a very nice explanation about Jai and Vijay in their three births. And this is in the next verse, 536. So I'll read the verse where it has been stated, this is Adi Lila 536, right. Where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. So it means that Brahman is just a part of Krishna. So in that sense, they attain the same destination. This may be understood by the example of the sun and sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna is like the sun. So this verse is from Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, who further discusses this topic in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So this is Prabhupada's purport to 536. There he refers to Vishnu Purana, where Maitreya Muni asked Parashara in regard to Jai and Vijay how it was that Hiranyakashipu next became Ravana and enjoyed more material happiness than the demigods, but did not attain salvation. So the demons, he was killed by the Lord, Hiranyakashipu, but he didn't get salvation. Although when he became Shishupala, quarreled with Krishna, and was killed, he attained salvation and merged into the body of Lord Krishna. So that's a good question. Why didn't Hiranyakashipu, why didn't Ravana, why didn't they get salvation? Parashara replied, Hiranyakashipu failed to recognize Lord Nrisingadev as Lord Vishnu. He thought Nrisingadev was some living entity who had acquired such opulence by various pious activities. Being overcome by the motive passion, he considered Lord Nrisingadev an ordinary living entity, not understanding his form. Nevertheless, because Hiranyakashipu was killed by the hands of Lord Nrisingadev, in his next life he became Ravana and had proprietorship of unlimited opulence. As Ravana, with unlimited material enjoyment, he could not accept Lord Ram as the personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though he was killed by Ram, he did not attain Sayujya, or oneness with the body of the Lord. In his Ravana body, he was too much attracted to Ram's wife, Janaki. Because of that attraction, he was able to see Lord Ram. But instead of accepting Lord Ram as an incarnation of Vishnu, Ravana thought him an ordinary living being. When killed by the hands of Ram, therefore, he got the privilege of taking birth as Shishupala, who had such immense opulence, he could think himself a competitor to Krishna. He must have been very opulent. Although Shishupala was always envious of Krishna, he frequently uttered the name of Krishna and always thought of the beautiful features of Krishna. Thus, by constantly thinking and chanting of Krishna, even unfavorably, he was cleansed of the contamination of his sinful activities. When Shishupala was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna as an enemy, his constant remembrance of Krishna dissolved the reactions of his vices, and he attained salvation by becoming one with the body of the Lord. From this incident, one can understand even a person who thinks of Krishna as an enemy and is killed by him may be liberated by becoming one with the body of Krishna. What then must be the destination of devotees who always think favorably of Krishna as their master or friend? So, and then the end of that purport. Prabhupada says, those who aspire to merge into the Brahman effulgent are as abominable as demons. Devotees who aspire to associate with the Supreme Lord to render him transcendental loving service are far superior. So I'll go on in the verses of CC, verse 37. Taiche paravyome nana chichakti vilas nirishesha jyotibhimma bahire kash. Thus in the spiritual sky there are varieties of pastimes within the spiritual energy. Outside the Vaikuntha planets appears the impersonal reflection of light. Nirvishesha brahma she keval jyotirmai sayuje ratikari ta paelai. That impersonal Brahman effulgence consists only of the effulgent rays of the Lord. Those fit for sayuja liberation merge into that effulgence. And then the last verse I'll read is Adi 5:39. Sitta lokastu tamasa pariyatta vasantihi sitta brahma sukhe magna daityasya harina hata. Beyond the reaching of ignorance, the material cosmic manifestation, lies the realm of Siddhaloka. The Siddhas reside there, absorbed in the bliss of Brahman. Demons killed by the Lord also attain that realm. So Shishupala, Kamsa, they enter this Brahman effulgence. And Prabhupada says, yogis who attain oneness through meditation according to Patanjali Yoga system also reach Siddhaloka. And this verse is from the Brahmanda Purana. Okay. In the next verse, we'll get examples of persons who got the mercy of Krishna by being absorbed in different ways. This is verse 31. Gopya kama payakam so dresa chaydiya dayarnipa sambandha dushaya snehad yuyam bhakya vayam pipa. My dear King Yudhisthira, the gopis, by their lusty desires, Kamsa, by his fear, Shishupala and other kings, by envy, the Yadus, by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas, by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. So hopefully we're in the list here. General devotees, by devotional service. So take heart, by devotional service we can also become absorbed. And of course the best way is by chanting the holy name, as we heard yesterday, the verses 26, 27, 28. This absorption we can gain by chanting the holy name, Namashaya, Aikantiki, taking shelter of the holy name. So paragraph 1, about 4 lines down. Although the gopis at Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with a paramour, Parakya Ras, They actually had no lusty desires. This is significant of spiritual advancement. Their desires appeared lusty, but actually they were not the lusty desires of the material world. Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the desires of spiritual material world to gold and iron. Both gold and iron are metal, but there is a vast difference in their value. The lusty desires of the gopis for Krishna are compared to gold. The material lusty desires are compared to iron. So we have to hear this over and over again before we hear the 10th canto, so we can understand the mentality of approaching the 10th canto. It's not, we cannot see it with our material mind. They're not, it's not the same, because they're not thinking of their own happiness. In this world, everyone is thinking, what can I get out of it? How can I enjoy? But the gopis are not thinking like that. Their only thought is to how Krishna can enjoy. So that's why it's not lust. So we don't want to misunderstand when we read the 10th canto, the gopis, we see the pastimes. It's nothing to do with this world. Otherwise, why would Lord Chaitanya, why would Shukadeva Goswami discuss these things? So one thing we have to watch out for is becoming Prakriti Sahajya. And how you do that is when you imagine that you are a gopi or one of these things, cowherd boy, and that you're with Krishna in the spiritual world when you haven't even become freed from material attachments. So this is, and this can happen if you hear from unauthorized sources, if you hear 10th canto. So I have a verse here from 10th canto, which I would like to quote. Jiva Goswami quotes this verse in his Sandarbha, and this is 10:43:17. This is about when Krishna appeared in the wrestling arena of Kamsa in Mathura. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the cowherd men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, king of the Bojas as death, the unintelligent as the Lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. Now, Jiva Goswami analyzes these groups of people. He puts them into three categories. Number one, the enemies of the Lord, Pratikula Gyan. Number two, the fools, Mudhas. And three, the wise philosophers, Vidvan. So the enemies of the Lord are the wrestlers, the kings, who are Kamsa's allies, and King Kamsa. They are in the enemy category. The fools are those who see Krishna as universal form. The wise philosophers are the other persons mentioned in this verse. Everyone else is a wise philosopher. So when they mention the universal form here, it's the idea that the Lord's form is made of material elements. This is part of the universal form. Yeah, thanks. So this is the idea of mudhas. Prabhupada says, of these fools, some ignore the Lord's requests. These are like the yogic brahmanas described in the 10th canto. Other fools hate and insult the Lord. Thank you. Still others neither hate nor like the Lord. Devotees are horrified by the idea the Lord has a body made of matter. In truth, the Lord uses this idea to nourish the bibhatsa rasa, rasa of horror. In this idea, in this verse, the word Nrinam Naravara, ordinary people think the Lord, because of his sweetness, power, and opulence, is the best of human beings. So in this idea, there is some wisdom. Ordinary devotees may sometimes love the Lord according to this idea. So I have something here from Nectar of Devotion. And this is chapter 24. It's the same idea about Krishna appearing in the arena. But it's a quality of Krishna. So now Krishna has appeared in the arena and everyone's attracted to him. There's one word which Nectar of Devotion describes, one quality of Krishna, which describes this great attraction or control of Krishna over everyone by his attraction. one way or the other. There's one word, and it's in chapter 24. A person who can affect the mind of everyone is called attractive. What?
Charming.
Jananivas.
Beautiful.
What?
Charismatic.
The word is predominating. We never have gotten it. Maybe it's the way I phrased the question. Because I said it attracted. Anyway, he's predominating. My dear king, Krishna is a thunderbolt to the wrestlers, and then it goes on in that same verse. To the young girls, he's Cupid. To the coward men and women, he's the most intimate relative. To the impious kings, he's the supreme ruler. To his parents, he's just a baby. To Kamsa, he's death personified. To the dull and stupid, he is just like a stone. To the yogis, he's the supreme absolute truth. And to the Vrishnis, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. In such a predominating position, Krishna appeared in that arena along with his older brother, Balaram. So, in Bhagavad Gita, then Rupa Goswami quotes Gita. He appears to every person according to one's relationship with him. What verse in Bhagavad Gita is that? Yetamam prapadyante. Now, in Nectar of Devotion, in the 31st chapter, we get a glimpse of Kamsa's consciousness. This is chapter 31. Kamsa once rebuked Akura, saying, "You are such a fool. You are accepting a coward boy to be the supreme personality of Godhead simply because he defeated some harmless water snake." Who's that harmless water snake? Kaliya. The boy may have lifted one pebble called Govardhan Hill. But what is more surprising than that is your statement, this boy is a personality of Godhead. This is Akura. Now, Rupa Goswami says, this is an instance of maliciously opposing element caused by hopelessness and ecstatic love for Krishna. Kamsa has ecstatic love for Krishna. Okay, there's another one in the same chapter. Kamsa once said, "What harm can this boy do to me? He has no power." Then the next moment, Kamsa was informed all his friends had been killed by the boy. Then Kamsa began to think in perplexity, "Shall I go immediately and surrender to him? But how can a great warrior do this?" The next moment he thought, "Why should I be afraid of him? There are still so many wrestlers standing to support me." But the next moment he began to consider, "The boy is certainly not common, because he has lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand. So what can I do in this connection? Let me go to Vrindavan and inflict pains on all the residents there. But still, I cannot even go out, because my heart is trembling from fear of this boy." Kamsa. So he's going back and forth in his mind. You know, what should I do? What should I do? This condition of Kamsa's mind reveals an instance of pride, lamentation, humility, determination, remembrance, doubtfulness, anger, and fear. Actually, 8 different symptoms comprise the mental condition of Kamsa. This is another instance of an aggregate of symptoms in hopeless, ecstatic love. So there you have it. Kamsa is in hopeless, ecstatic love for Krishna. I think some of us are also in hopeless something for Krishna. So that's a good condition. Then you can turn to Krishna and take shelter, because we're hopeless and helpless. Verse 32. Katchama pina venasya panchanam purusham puti tasmat kena pipayena mana krishne nivesaya. Another very famous verse. Somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the 5 different processes mentioned above, one can return home, back to Godhead. What are those 5 different processes? Do we have it here? Kama, Bhaya, Sneha, Bhaktya, and Dvesha. Okay? You have the 5 processes. Not Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. We've got 5 other processes here. It's Kama, Dvesha, Bhaya, Sneha, Bhaktya. So we're taking the Bhaktya platform. Bhaktya. Atheists like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these 5 ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimically. Purport. Impersonalists and atheists always try to circumvent the form of Krishna. What does circumvent mean?
Circumambulate?
No. Avoid. Yes, circumvent does not mean circumambulate. That's why I asked the question. It means avoid. Circumvent. You don't want, they're trying to avoid Krishna. Great politicians and philosophers of the modern age even tried to banish Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. And they banished him from the schools, actually. And that was, what was that? I told it last year. I told a story about that. Somebody was complaining. Why there is so much indiscipline in the school? They're complaining. Why doesn't God do something about it? And they said, well, you, God said, yes, you don't allow me in the school, so what can I do?
Prayer.
It was a prayer.
By a Christian.
Prayer by a Christian.
Recently,
yeah,
Acha.
Yeah, it was a prayer. An email, okay. Why is that happening? Yes, you kicked him out. So this is here. Prabhupada says they even banish him from Bhagavad Gita, which he himself spoke. Now, that's the worst. That's the worst thing. So why do these people, why do they write interpretations on Bhagavad Gita? Why do these people do it? Prabhupada explained that in one lecture. Why do these people take Bhagavad Gita and write their own, yes?
To borrow from Krishna's glory.
Yes, you're very close.
They want to take the credit.
You want to take the credit. You're both very close. Retranslating.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot my line now. What were you saying?
They want to take the credit.
Okay, yeah, that was the question. So Prabhupada said the reason why they're writing commentaries on Bhagavad Gita is because if they wrote their own book, no one would read it. So they take Bhagavad Gita and write the commentary. No one, if they just wrote a book by such and such, nobody would buy it. Therefore, they take Bhagavad Gita, it's famous, and they put their name. That's why they do it, Prabhupada said. Okay. So they banish Krishna from Bhagavad Gita. Consequently, for them, there is no salvation. But Krishna's enemies think, here is Krishna, my enemy. I have to kill him. They think of Krishna in his actual form. Thus, they attain salvation. Devotees, therefore, who constantly think of Krishna's form are certainly liberated. The only business of the Mayavadi atheists is to make Krishna formless. Consequently, because of this severe offense at the lotus feet of Krishna, they cannot expect salvation. No, even Shishupala gets it, but the Mayavadis will never get salvation. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, Tena Shishupala dipina patikula bhavam diti shuryena eva narakam ya titi bhavaha. Except for Shishupala, those who go against the regulative principles cannot attain salvation and are surely destined for hellish life. The regulative principle is that one must always think of Krishna, whether as a friend or an enemy. So one time, there was one lecture of Prabhupada where he said that in next life the Mayavadi will become a stone because they want to merge. They want to become nothing. So they will become nothing. They will merge. Yes? Trees in Vrindavan? Well, that's a good birth. If they're trees in Vrindavan, then they're fortunate. So Ajamila, he's an example, somehow engaging the mind in Krishna. What did he do, actually? Of course, we know he chanted the Lord's name at the time of death. But how did he happen to do that? I mean, how did he happen to... What did he actually do in his life? A very simple thing. He just named his... Yeah?
Named his son.
Named his son, Narayan. So he named his son Narayan, and as Prabhupada says, thus they chant the names Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vrindavan, and get the chance to be purified. So this is in Hindu families. So Prabhupada, let's see, explains how to absorb the mind in Krishna. Before that, I'll tell you one verse. It explains different mentalities, different ways to perceive Krishna. Let's see, what is this verse? 10, 12, 11. Okay? Itam satam brahma sukhan bhutya dasyam gachanam paradaivatena mayashitanam narakatarakena sakam vishahukita punya punja. All the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, the source of Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. Cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Lord. How can one explain their great fortune? So in the purport to this, Prabhupada gives us the easiest way of directly approaching Krishna. And guess what that easiest way is? Okay, I'll let you try. Oh, if you have a computer, you might see it. Anyway, I'll tell you. Prabhupada says, Srimad Bhagavatam is the easiest way of directly approaching Krishna. Diverting even a little of one's attention toward Krishna and activities in Krishna consciousness immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. And this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It says, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. For Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced or who are fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. After all, we have to change this body to Tadihantara Prapti. If we do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life, Chaktadeyam Punarjanma Naiti Mameti Sorjana. Therefore, distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activities for theologians, philosophers, transcendentalists, and yogis, as well as for people in general. Janma Labha Parapunsam Ante Narayana Smriti. If we can somehow or other remember Krishna and Narayana at the end of life, our life will be successful. So there is one example of one devotee, which Sachinanda Maharaj gave in Bhagavatam class when he gave class a few days ago, who was very absorbed in Krishna, who is very absorbed in Krishna. And this devotee was in a car accident. And in the car accident, his neck was broken. And he was conscious. He didn't lose consciousness. So when this happened, he was in the car, trapped in the car, and he understood what had happened, that his neck was broken. And he said, well, I have to keep my mind off this somehow or other. So then he decided, okay, in my mind, I'm going to go on Vrindavan Parikrama. So he was going on Vrindavan Parikrama in his mind. And then some devotees came, and they asked him, Prabhuji, are you still with us? And he said, shh, I'm on Vrindavan Parikrama. Now that's absorption. And then this devotee actually recovered many times from broken neck. You're paralyzed from the waist down, but he recovered. He was in the hospital with many other people who had broken necks, and they did not recover, some of them. And he was preaching to them in the hospital. But he recovered, and he's with us now, very nice devotee. So this is absorption. This is an example from nowadays, our present time, of absorption in Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse about preaching. That how here it says, somehow or other think of Krishna, and this was Prabhupada's preaching process, somehow get people to think of Krishna. So the verse is, Lord Chaitanya excused all the offenders, and they merged into the ocean of devotional service. For no one can escape the unique loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya was an ideal acharya. An acharya is an ideal teacher who knows the purport of the revealed scriptures, behaves exactly according to their injunctions, and teaches his students to adopt these principles also. As an ideal acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu devised ways to capture all kinds of atheists and materialists. So who can tell me a way that Lord Chaitanya devised to capture atheists and materialists? What was his?
Nam Sankirtan.
Okay, that's the way. It's the main way to capture them. Every acharya, Prabhupada says, has a specific means of propagating his spiritual movement with the aim of bringing men into Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the method of one acharya may be different from that of another, but the ultimate goal is never neglected. So then he quotes this verse of Bhagavatam. An acharya should devise a means by which people may somehow or other come to Krishna consciousness. First, they should become Krishna conscious, and all the prescribed rules and regulations may later gradually be introduced. In our Krishna conscious movement, we follow this policy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, since boys and girls in the Western countries freely intermingle, special concessions regarding their customs and habits are necessary to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The acharya must devise a means to bring them to devotional service. Therefore, although I am a sannyasi, I sometimes take part in getting boys and girls married. Although in the history of sannyas, no sannyasi has personally taken part in marrying his disciples. Well, there's one example of what Prabhupada did. He broke the rules of sannyas by performing marriage ceremonies because, I mean, they were living together without marriage, so he had to say, okay, at least get married. At least get married. So he did that. And there's a... in India, so Prabhupada, he was... This is an excerpt from somebody's memory of Srila Prabhupada. When devotees started street sankirtan in India, it was not appreciated, so Prabhupada stopped it. Prabhupada wasn't a stereotype thinker. He used to say, spiritual life is not static, it's ecstatic. Nice Prabhupada saying. Prabhupada would always think of brilliant, unique ways to spread Krishna consciousness. And so, not static. Oh, there's a nice... I have an excerpt here from Vishnujan Maharaj. He was very expert. Vishnujan Maharaj was very expert in thinking of ways to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Page 109. Yes. So at a Rath Yatra festival, he was lecturing. So this is a very wonderful thing that he says here. So you can listen, and it's very much relevant to the section we're reading now. How to attract Krishna. Krishna has unlimited beauty. Krishna has unlimited knowledge. Krishna has unlimited wealth, fame, renunciation. How to attract someone that has all these opulences? How to attract him is by love. He is very difficult to attract because he's attracting everything. How to attract the all-attractive? By love, by pure devotion. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna, I can be understood as I am standing before you only by unmotivated devotional love, devotional service. So, if we want to capture Krishna, we want to bring Krishna into our heart, you see, then we have to develop unconditional love, unmotivated love for Krishna. That's the theme of this festival. That's Rath Yatra. Let everyone come and pull the cart of the Lord and bring the Lord into his heart. So that's how he's preaching to these hippies. This theme has actually been ordered by our spiritual master to be executed in over 200 cities a year. This is 75. Yeah. He is asking us to take these carts apart and then set them up in some other city and do the same festival over and over again until all of America has the opportunity to bring Krishna into their hearts. So this was Vishujan. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you saw the two figures of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, the two brothers chanting and dancing. They began this chanting and dancing 500 years ago, and it's been spreading and predicted to spread all over this universe, not just this planet, but all over this universe. This wave of love for Krishna is actually flowing on. So we're all pioneers of Lord Chaitanya's prophecy. Everyone here is actually becoming part of his prophecy. And in every town and village, on every street corner, people will gather together singing and dancing and solving all the problems of life. So that was an excerpt from his lecture. It's a very potent preaching, preaching of Vishujan Maharaj. So this is, somehow or other we have to think of Krishna, and somehow or other we have to get everyone to think of Krishna. So that is a lesson that we learn in these verses today. Anybody have any other comments or questions? Yashoda. So your question is, before the liberated platform, our path is the path of devotion. Okay, kama, dvesha, bhayad, snehat. So she's, her question is that it seems that you need to have a relationship with Krishna in order to have these other things, hatred, snehat, bhayat, dvesha. But the bhaktya we can do even before liberation. This is the question. This is the question. So Kamsa and all these people, you're saying that they were liberated. Well, they're on the liberated state. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. That's true. We're not, we don't want to be sahajiya. We don't want to be sahajiya and saying, okay, I have relationship in baya with Krishna. But still, the principle is there that in any condition of life, even if we have fear or any of these things, we should turn to Krishna or somehow see Krishna's hand in it. And on that level, we can have a relationship with Krishna. And we have a relationship through Parampara. We have our relationship, actually. Our relationship is we are connected with Krishna. But if we try to do it outside Parampara, then we won't be connected. That's a distinction I would see. If you are connected through Parampara and you follow the instructions and the examples and the guidance, then you have a relationship. Actually, everyone has a relationship with Krishna, but they don't know it. Yes, Adipush. Introducing Raghunuga Bhakti, this verse.
So 7.130. So practice.
Okay. Dvesha and Baya are rejected, that we should not practice.
Then bhakti here is bhakti.
Vaidhi sadhana. Okay, this bhakti is vaidhi sadhana. Okay.
Sneha
and kama are two divisions of Raghunuga. Thank you for that.
Sambandhanuga.
Is Kamanuga. Okay. Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga.
Two divisions,
so kama and sneha, so that is on the Raghunuga level. That is after liberation.
And bhakti is
vaidhi, and the other two are rejected. So there you have it. That's in which chapter of Nectar of Devotion?
16.
Around 16. Okay, chapter 16. Okay, the question is on the level of a sakti, you're still in vaidhi bhakti. That's your question. Okay, Raghunu can start when you know your relationship with Krishna, or have a glimpse of it.
The rasa, glimpse of the rasa
means your relationship. Okay, I'm in a relationship like this, but not your actual identity. You may not get that, but you may know. Okay, I'm a cowherd boy. I'm a gopi. I'm this and that.
And usually it comes in the sakti, but sometimes
it may come at nishta or ruchi. May come because nishta is a form of liberation. So not 100%, but some sort of liberation, yes.
I have a question related to this.
Okay. And you should answer it too, because you just answered the last one. All right, let's go.
How much?
Yeah, I think it's okay. Actually, I gave that advice to one devotee. She was angry with the devotees, because they had taken away her service. She was a pujari for so many years. And then she was really angry with meditating in anger on the devotees. I said, better you be angry with Krishna. So she was angry with Krishna. Well, she it was hard for her to do it. So then she told me, yeah, you know, I did it. I said, she said, the way she expressed her anger was, Krishna, do something. So then the next day, one devotee here came and gave her deities of Radha and Krishna to take care of. For her. So it was quick. I said, yeah, it's better you're angry with Krishna, because if you're angry with devotees, you're going to make Vaishnava Parad. But if you're angry with Krishna, he won't be so upset as if you're angry with his devotees. I don't know. Anyway, it worked for her. Yeah, anger with Krishna, I would say, is especially for devotees. I mean, who else you're going to be angry with? Because he's the one that's doing everything. And of course, when you get more advanced and you have that understanding, tatenu kampam susumikshmano, but before that level of humility, then you may get angry with Krishna. One time my son was angry with my deities and he put them down on the bottom shelf. He's punishing them. Because they didn't give him something he wanted, I forgot what. Yeah. Numayapur was?
Mortgaged,
okay.
So
mortgaged.
Gave
all his money to the temple,
to his
ISKCON.
For the sake of saving Numayapur.
For saving Numayapur, the one who, before he was a sannyasi, he gave all his money to save Numayapur, the mortgage.
He gave a huge amount, he sold his house.
He sold his house, the elderly person.
And he said, I've done my part, what about you
now? He went to Krishna, he said, okay, I've done my part, what about you now?
He was pressing Krishna.
He was pressing Krishna.
And I appreciate that.
Okay, well, but we should not imitate. We will get smashed for sure. Yeah, right. He's elderly.
17.
Mm-hmm. Yes. After you're 50, then you're liberated. You can do so many things. After 60 is even more. Yes. Okay, we have our relationship with Lord Chaitanya, don't forget. He's the gardener who wants to distribute all the fruits. And we're the distributors, but we have to eat them first. And then we can distribute. We have to taste the fruit of love of Godhead. Yes.
Part of the lila.
Okay, his question is that we say that the kama is spiritual. So can the envy and the fear also be spiritual? Well, I just read from Nectar of Devotion that according to Nectar of Devotion, Kamsa was having ecstasy, hopeless ecstatic love of Krishna. So in one sense it was spiritual because he had a relationship with Krishna. Huh? What is it called? Gonya?
Gonya rasa.
Gonya rasa. Yeah, five main and seven indirect. So it was one of the indirect rasas with Krishna. So in that sense, it can be said that it was spiritual because it's Rupa Goswami classifies it as a level of hopeless ecstatic love of Krishna. But according to Adi Purush, he also says we should reject this type of ecstasy. Dvesha and Maya. Yes, Madhavendra Puri.
It says that
Shridhar, which comment is this and which verse?
Shridhar Swami on 7145.
7145, Shridhar Swami says they kept their spiritual body when they came down.
So they didn't accept natural bodies.
So therefore it's spiritual.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a quote here. Oh, we'll come, I think, on the next week's class. Yes, how when they were leaving Vaikuntha, then they were blessed by the Lord, actually, that you will remember me in devotional service of anger. In devotional service of anger, you will remember, you won't forget me. So that their fear was of forgetting the Lord. So he said, no, you will remember me, don't worry, don't fear. You'll remember me in anger, devotional service of anger. So and that, it was spiritual in that sense, yes.
Because I don't know what's known what was Kamsa's previous birth.
Kamsa's previous birth. He was Kalanemi, as far as I know. Kalanemi. And he cursed... was he the grandson? Anyway, he cursed his sons, I think, to become... And he killed his own son. In the next life, the six children who were sons of Devaki were his sons in his previous life, and he killed them. They were actually his sons. Because he cursed them because they were following, they were worshipping, I think, Lord Brahma, was it? They were worshipping Lord Brahma. But in the previous birth, they were criticizing Lord Brahma. They were the ones when Brahma was going after his...
The sons of Marichi.
And they criticized Brahma when Brahma was going after his daughter. So then they had to have demonic births. And then after they got the breast milk of Devaki, they went back to the heavenly planets. They were reinstated. Complicated. Yeah, Kamsa was a demon, Kalanemi, in his previous life. Yes? Yeah, that also. Kam krod lo moha mara matsarya. That also. Yeah, to hear, if you're a bona fide hearer, then the lust will be removed from your heart. It's contaminated. It's contaminated.
So do those pastimes, are they in general?
Which pastimes? Lust is lust. Actually, it's a symptom of that the false ego, that ahamkara. A symptom of wanting control, to control, is lust. That I am the controller. So it's anything, it's not just... Not just in Madhurya Ras in the material world. Lust is a big, big topic. Everything. Lust, yeah. Because it all goes back to the same root, that I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. It's all the same. Okay, any other? Yes. If your false ego, Yes, it was. That is described in third canto.
Yes, 3:5.
That
3:25-33.
The subtle body is dissolved by devotional service. Yeah, that's Kapila Dev's.
Without separate
effort.
Just as fire in the stomach digests all that we eat,
the devotional service dissolves the subtle body. And it's described in, I don't know if it's that purport, but when your subtle body is dissolved, then you're inside the body just like a coconut, a dry coconut inside the shell. So you're separated from the gross and subtle body. You're separated. So there's an outer shell and there's an inner coconut. And when you're Jivan Mukta, then there's this separation that you have and connection with the spiritual world. You're separated from this and connected with that. And it's dissolved because Prabhupada's example was if you put an iron rod in the fire. So you have a material body. But if you engage it in devotional service, in service to Krishna, then it becomes fire. And someone may object, well, no, it's an iron rod. So Prabhupada said, okay, touch it. Touch it. It's fire. Your body becomes fire. Your gross and subtle bodies, it's dissolved. Your subtle body is dissolved because the subtle body is that I am the enjoyer and the controller. So when you're thinking I am servant of Krishna, then that is gone. I am servant of Krishna. That is this, our real identity.
Mental functions.
Yeah, mental functions. The mind and intelligence are always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to serve Krishna. That's your mental function. It's going on, but it's going on a different wavelength. 325. You have, just like different channels on the radio, but this is a higher channel, the Goloka channel. Yes.
Her body was dissolved.
Yes, her body was dissolved.
So she maybe.
That's material body. Well, she had a material body, but it's not simple. Well, of course, separation was there, but she followed the process of devotional service.
So maybe
it was due to her perfection.
Has no gross body and just subtle body.
Maybe, but that's your speculation.
Some sign, just
Narottam Das Thakur's body also dissolved.
Yeah, it's also dissolved.
Yes, became milk.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be.
Dadichi's body.
Who? Dadichi's. It dissolved?
It got licked by the crown of Indra.
Oh, really?
They put Tirtha waters.
Holy Tirtha waters.
And salt.
Where did you get this from?
I read that in the magazine of Madame
Ananda. Oh, Acha.
Very interesting.
Okay.
The last one on the
magazine. Oh, the last one. Oh, I have to read
actually,
that.
They know the
process.
They licked the body away. The crown.
How to leave your body?
100
million ways.
Okay,
they got his bones. Yes. Yeah, I just. Oh, Hirani Kashpur, no. No. We just read that today, that they didn't consider him to be God. We read that in the purport. Yeah. Well, that's Maya. We also totally forgot everything. Everybody's forgotten everything, so therefore, what to do? Well, that's what when Prabhuji said here.
Shridhar
Swami. Yes. This is Leela. There's so many levels of understanding. There's so many levels of understanding, Leela. So one level is that they had a spiritual body. But the pastime, that's the Leela level. The Leela level, there's so many levels. So Mahabharata also, there's so many levels of understanding of the different things that are happening in Mahabharata. Okay, anything else? Yes. Yeah, we've already heard. You have to chant also. You have to chant Hare Krishna. That's required. Yes, we hear. And then, the processes, what are those processes? You hear, you chant, you meditate, you reflect on the subject. How is it not material? How is it not material? And then, anyway, you reflect on it. And manana, yes. You have to hear for a long time. So how long have you been hearing Adi Purush Prabhu?
4 years?
40 years. Yeah, that was 40 years to chant nicely Hare Krishna, but also a reporter asked him, when did you first have God realization? He said 4 years old. 4 years old. And he was standing in Radha Govinda in his childhood in front of the deities. At 4 years. So he said different things. Yes. So we don't want to disturb the pastimes here. So the text is the pastime, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta wouldn't let an unqualified person read it. But we were distributing Bhagavatam on the streets of America. So just imagine, Prabhupada's mercy is just unlimited, and you can't even begin to comprehend what he gave to the lowest. He gave the highest, just like Lord Chaitanya, he gave the highest thing to the lowest people. I mean, we were even lower than who Lord Chaitanya gave it to. So we're so fortunate that he allowed us. And the people on the street of America, can you imagine? Not even devotees. And they got Bhagavatam. Then you hear these stories about, you know, in their child, there was some story in Back to Godhead, somebody got a Krishna book and they put it on their shelf for 30 years. And then they had a son. And the son was actually looking for spiritual life. And he was asking his mother, and he asked his mother, what about those Hare Krishna? And she said, oh yeah, they used to be around, but now they're not here anymore. We don't see them. So then she remembered, oh, I got this book. And he started reading Krishna book, and he was just in ecstasy. He became a devotee. And so these books, they're for somebody.
Time bombs.
They're planted. And they're time bombs. And not only, Prabhupada said the books are time bombs, but what he said there's devotees everywhere. They're just waiting to be Krishna conscious. There's devotees. And we couldn't figure it out because when Prabhupada was here, Russia was closed, China was closed, so many places were closed, and we couldn't imagine that there would be devotees in China and Russia and the Muslim countries. And now it's happening, Iran. All these places. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll have a half-hour break. We'll come back at 12:30 and have for our second class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.